I like to tell mostly true stories. Stories I've gathered from conversation with you and others, from reading and listening and living my own life. And I take these stories and I change the names to protect the innocent and the guilty, and I kind of mush them together and I tell them to you. So the thing about a mostly true story that you need to know is that it's completely made up. And yet I hope it rings true nonetheless. It's just so there's no confusion. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. Like all good stories, this one begins once upon a time. Once upon a time, there was a boy about 8 or 10 years old, something like that. Let's call him Joe. Joseph to his grandmother, Joey to his friends. And Joey is like other kids, like you and me. Sometimes he wants to be wild. Sometimes he wants to take his life and turn it upside down and shake it around and see what comes out. He gets bored. Sometimes he doesn't want to do his homework or clean his room or be responsible in any way whatsoever. And so he shouts at his dad or his mom, "I don't want to do chores." And his dad says back, "You think I do? Do them or go to your room." So to his room he goes. And he stomps around and he imagines and he dreams of a different life, sailing to the kingdom of wild things where he's in charge, or being a pirate lord or an astronaut or a prince. He dreams of something else. And eventually he gets hungry or he gets bored of dreaming and he comes out of his room and he finds that he's loved and fed and it isn't all bad, though his mom and dad still make him do his chores. Joey grows up. Becomes Joe sometime around 9th grade. He dreams himself a man some days, thinks of himself as suave and self-controlled and successful, and the beautiful girl on his arm and money in his pocket. He stares out into space and imagines this coming true, but when it comes time to ask someone to homecoming, he stares at his feet and mumbles it out, barely. Other days, he dreams himself still a boy, playing in the mud, carefree and happy, thinks, "Why did I ever want to grow up?" Not that his real life was bad in any way. It was fine, actually. He did have friends and things to do, and his family loved him, and he did okay in school. But he wanted something different. He began to have that feeling, like a splinter in your mind, that something was off in the world, and something was off in his life. That feeling lodged there, like a burrowing presence under his waking consciousness. At some point around this time, Joe developed a love of science fiction and fantasy books. Like most of his peers, he was reading the newest series of mythological, fantastical stories. There you'll find him in bed past lights out, devouring the Lord of the Rings or Madeleine L'Engle or Harry Potter or Percy Jackson or whatever it is for whatever generation our archetypal character grew up in. Some of Joe's classmates were reading the same thing. Certainly all the kids at his lunch table were. The next table over, he heard them talking about video games, about how they lose themselves in these worlds for hours upon hours. At another table, it was movies and TV shows about aliens and vampires and zombies and explorers. It seemed like everyone was finding ways to escape. When Joe got to college, he took a class on postmodern philosophy. They read Derrida and Foucault and Mary Daly, and it was all very heady, and it didn't quite make sense, but it was provocative and interesting. They read a little of Jean Beauregard, who wrote about the modern world of simulation, that we live in a time when everything is a simulation, a fake version of our imagined real world. Media events, stage manage, that even our own lives are productions, displays we put on for others. This notion struck Joe powerfully. He felt that sense of separation, distance, as if he was living some other life, that the life of a college kid named Joe, who looked like him but somehow wasn't him. It was a disorienting feeling. He started to think to himself, "I wonder what it would be like to wake up from this dream state, to stop escaping and live." He was talking to his older sister about this, much older sister, about Beauregard and simulation, and she said to him, "You know about the movie, right?" "What movie?" he asks. "When I was your age," she says, "there was a movie, The Matrix, that was very loosely based on Beauregard's ideas. You haven't seen it?" "No," he says. Looks it up. It's not on Netflix, but Joseph finds that he can rent it for $2 from Amazon, and he does. The special effects seem outdated, though he's sure they were pretty cool way back when his sister was young. Keanu Reeves isn't exactly the world's most impressive actor, but nonetheless, he's captivated by the concept that there's this secret hidden world, and that this world of fast food and mass media and planned obsolescence and all the rest is a fiction, a distraction, a ruse to keep us in servitude to the system of oppression. And Joe wants to wake up. He wants to live in the real world. He wants to take the red pill, not the blue, not go back to sleep. The red one, see how far the rabbit hole goes. He wants to wake up, take the red pill, and stop living this denuded, deluded, dead life. There's nothing wrong, he thinks, with a good book, but you got to know what's fiction and what's real. He wants to make a change from using his dreams to escape the world to instead following and living that dream he keeps having, the dream of life. A real life, alive and aware. And of course, in moments here and there in his life, he feels that power of real life, of life lived awake, so he knows what it's like. A meandering and open conversation with a friend late into the evening over potato chips and cheap beer. Remember, he's still a college student. Playing hide and seek with his 7-month-old niece at Thanksgiving. A moment driving through the countryside when the sky was blue and the cornfields a perfect gold in autumn, a sense of aliveness, reality. And it's not always in these joys either, for real life isn't always joyful. A friend whose mom died too young from cancer weeping in his arms. Watching a documentary about child labor, then showing up at the campus amnesty chapter meeting, organizing a campaign to get the college to change its clothing supplier, feels alive. Feeling bored and restless, not turning on the video game or the television, but instead taking a slow walk through the neighborhood and just feeling. All these moments, profound and mundane, happy and sad, trying to live alive, be present, be awake. And he resolves to do more of that, to do more of that. And so life goes on. Graduation, work, discernment about what he might do with his life after this, feeling dissatisfied but not trying to cover it up or distract himself. Volunteering somewhere, feeling a passion, finding a path, falling in love and falling out again and falling in again and out and in. You know, life. Sometimes forgetting about the red pill and the dream of life and just trying to get through the day. Other times remembering acutely his resolution. Don't escape. Live. Be awake. Wake now. And Joseph tries. It's hard in this world with so much simulation and so much fakery around, so many distractions and bells and whistles, so much grief, overwhelming sometimes, too much sometimes. Some days he just can't, but he tries. And when he does, when he lives real life and doesn't dream through it, there is a sense of awe, a sense of mystery, a sense of place, a sense of place, a sense of home. Instead of feeling like a visitor from another planet or part of some computer-programmed virtual reality, he feels at home on this earth, in his own skin, in this life. Oh, there's existential angst, sure, but there's also existential grace. Yes, I belong. This is my life, and I'm in it. And the days go by, and the years go by. They're full of wonder and doubt and grace and love. There's pain sometimes, endings and beginnings again, laughter and silence, tears and hope. at some point in his life, and I believe in this story that he was almost exactly the age that you are right now. Whatever your age, that's how old he was. At some point in his life, Joseph was walking along in the woods. He was taking the open road, the uncharted way, going where his free spirit leads. At least that was the goal. And walking along, he saw on the ground, well, he saw that same bear print, the one that Mary Oliver saw, or very much like it anyway, and it was fresh, and his breath caught, and he held still and quiet. And yes, all that, the mountain aflutter with color, the tingle on the arm, the feeling of alert aliveness. And oh, sure, we can say it's adrenaline at work in the body, but there's more than that, isn't there? A feeling of aliveness, felt most acutely when our life feels especially precious and contingent, when we remember that we might not otherwise be here. That is a miracle that we exist at all, let alone that our existence continues against all odds and possible disasters. You cannot help but feel alive. Wake up from the stupor of too much noise. I say that, you cannot help but feel alive, but that isn't true, is it? It isn't true. Joseph looks around, I look around, so do you, and we see plenty of folks who don't feel alive, who deaden themselves, who are tethered, chained to their buzzing and pinging devices. We see those who want to feel so badly but don't know how. So they cut, or they eat too much, or too little, or drink, or gamble, or a thousand other ways of filling the empty spaces, of feeling something. We all see it, and some of us are there, and some of us have been there. And even if we're not to such extremes, all of us, every moment, face the choice. The blue pill, more sleep and fantasy, deadened and diluted. Or the red pill. Wake up to the real life, the real world. Feel and hope and cry and shout and dance in the streets when you wake up from your dream and live. Every moment, the two hands reach out and we make our choice. When Joseph, Joey, Joe, was long in years and had many grandchildren, he was talking about his life to someone, a nurse, a chaplain, a neighbor, telling his story, remembering, and he said something like this: live, wake, let yourself be alive in this world. Oh, he says, there were moments I wished for my fantasy world, wanted to escape to the land of wild creatures or my dreams of some other life than this one. But now, looking all the way back, I'm so grateful I lived the life I did, with its mistakes and its glory, with its grace and its love. I took the open road. I did not settle for the laid up stores. I took the path less traveled by. I took the red pill, and that has made all the difference. Lived my life, not someone else's. Not a simulation, the real thing, and I'm glad I did. And long in years, and happy, and having made the world better, Joseph came to the end of his days. He dreamed of life, not an escape from it, but to live it. And he did. And he was glad. I told you this was a mostly true story. And it is. And I will tell you that I have heard a lot of folks, near the end of their lives, look back. And all the ones who have been pleased with their life felt like Joe. That they had lived and experienced and been open to all there is. Not that it had been perfect, but they had lived it. The unhappy ones, the regretful ones, they felt something undone, that they had not been as real and honest and true to life and to themselves as they could have been. Every time, that is the difference. Every moment is a choice. Dream yourself away to another world, or wake up and live in this one. The night is over. Morning breaks. It's a beautiful day. It can be a beautiful life. Live it. Wake to it. Become alive. Live and be alive. Let's sing. Please rise in body or spirit.